Oh, say can you see the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Shemp Howard of Medicare podcasts. Like Pow Wow the Indian Boy, he loves all the animals and the woods. Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, or good morning, or good evening. I don't know what it is where you are, but for us, it's the middle of a sunny afternoon in Cave Creek, Arizona, and I am so happy to be here with you. Welcome to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Today, we're doing episode number 59, and it's May 14th of 2020 on which we're recording it. The announcer you just heard introducing me was Drew McMillan, my Canadian nephew, who is also one of the stars of Powerboat TV, a Canadian show all about boats and trailers and accoutrement thereof. And he will be featured prominently on every 2020 episode. You can watch those at powerboattv.com because Yanks are not permitted to watch them over the air. You got to watch them on the website. Anyway, it is, once again, Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I am your Medicare expert for this week, Doug Jones, as Drew said. I am often called upon to define the lazy man because somebody once thought I was insulting to my audience, my listeners, and prior to that, my readers, because my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020, is the inspiration for this effort. And so they said, who is this lazy man? And I said, well, the lazy man, who might also have a lazy lady, or might also be a lazy lady, is somebody who is approaching Medicare and doesn't really know what to do, doesn't trust a lot of the advice that they get from sleazeball-looking theoretical Medicare experts, and they want some simple but yet reliable Medicare advice. And that's what I am here to help provide them with, is Medicare advice. And it's not really all that complicated, and it doesn't have to be as scary as a lot of people think Medicare is. So we want to welcome all people thinking about Medicare and reassure them that it's not going to be the horrible experience that often they're told it will be. And when I say we, I want to include my friend and broadcast engineer, Randy Carson, who is socially distant from the world. Randy, how are you?
I'm good. I feel like I need to make an announcement today.
Well, I don't see that on the agenda.
I promise to stick to the subject. Not going to talk about anything off subject. I'm going to stick right to it because it's a very serious subject. Final expenses.
Oh, boy, there you go. Yeah, I think that's kind of a dirty word, but let me back up and I'll get a running start at it and we'll see. I did want to apologize for promising a few weeks ago to continue my two-part effort on the 1,000 best things about Medicare and the 1,000 worst things about Medicare. I told you that I would do the 1,000 worst things, but I haven't quite gotten to 1,000 yet. I'm still working on my list. So hopefully this weekend, as I continue my efforts, I'll get up to that 1,000 mark, and then I'll be able to continue with that subject matter maybe next week, or maybe for the next episode. In any event, final expense insurance, that is the current darling marketing term for life insurance. And the reason it has become popular is somebody did a little research and figured out that people shy away from the term life insurance. They say, oh boy, you know, life insurance salesman, not me, not me. And they hold up their fingers in the form of a cross, hoping to be defended from the evil life insurance salesman that's knocking on their door with a briefcase in his hand and a snap brim fedora on his head. And so they use the term final expense. It's become almost universal in dealing with people of Medicare age. And it's become so universal that I find myself bristling when I hear the term final expense, because there are call centers out there. There are hordes of people who will cold call all day long, trying to talk people into buying final expense insurance. And nobody really has a clear idea of what it is, but they know that it's not as scary as the term life insurance. In reality, final expense insurance is life insurance, just wrapped up in a nice little package, a nice little expensive package, so that you're not afraid of the concept. They figure, okay, you're older now. You've given some thought to the fact that you're not going to live forever. There will be expenses involved with your death, and therefore, why not buy some insurance that will pay the bills that will be incurred by your death? This, they typically talk about your funeral costs and your burial expense, and maybe you want a nice casket. And these are the final expenses. Maybe you'll have some credit card bills outstanding. Maybe you'll have a new car that's not fully paid for. Maybe you'll have a piece of property that you're renting or you're purchasing, and you want the insurance to pay a portion of the costs of acquisition of that, so that you are able to leave a piece of property, you know, fully free of any encumbrance to your heirs. So that's what they say, final expense. Would you like $10,000 of coverage, or would you like $20,000 of coverage? Here's what the monthly cost would be. It's always expressed in terms of a monthly cost, and it's always expressed in a round number. It's like $10,000. Would you like $20,000? In reality, that is maybe the most expensive type of life insurance there is, because the insurance company has wrapped it up in a package, made it easy to buy, and anytime they make it easy to buy, the risk for them goes up. So what you want to do, if you want to look to your salesman who's approaching you as a sophisticated buyer, then you tell them, I'm in the market for life insurance. Don't give me any of this final expense crap. And a couple of the reasons that you should look more deeply into a larger life insurance purchase are the fact that you might be leaving behind a spouse, and that spouse wants to live a fairly comfortable lifestyle. I know my wife is probably going to outlive me by at least 20 or 30 years. I want her to be independent of any of our children choosing a nursing home for her, because we raise children who are very, very impecunious or pecunious. They are money-grubbing little bastards, and they don't want to be throwing money around. So that's good. But the fact is that if they are left with the responsibility of their mother's Medicare, nursing home experience, then they're not going to put her in the swanky nursing home with the real comfortable surroundings. They're going to put her in a nursing home that's got, basically iron bars and an electrified fence around the outside of it, because it costs a lot less. Well, I want her to be able to afford her own nursing home. How might I provide that for her? Life insurance. But I'm not calling it final expense, because it's not the kind of thing designed to pay for my casket or my graveyard, my funeral plot. I want to have a life insurance expert telling me how much life insurance I can qualify for, what the cost is going to be, and then I can decide for myself whether that life insurance is going to do the job that I want it to do. So that's the short version. When you hear the word final expense, I would say you're being insulted by a telemarketer or a single-minded salesman who really doesn't care about about learning your needs, wants, desires, and capabilities. All they want to do is sell you this very expensive package of life insurance product wrapped up with a little bow around it. So when you hear final expense, I would say change the subject to life insurance. I want to talk to a life insurance professional about my needs and my, what I can qualify for. So that's the short version of life insurance. If you are interested in pursuing the life insurance subject, I'll go into much greater detail in future episodes. And all you have to do is let us know at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. So how did I do there? Do I finish up in record time? I'm hoping
you
that...
You did.
Can we wrap it up and go home now?
Well, no. I wish we could, but I couldn't let you off. I really can't let you off that easy.
You're really a slave driver, you know that?
Speaking of, dbj@mlmmailbag.com, do you have some coming in that you could talk about today, as I'm just really anxious to hear some? We haven't gotten there for a while, so I have to apologize.
You're working me like a dog, Randy. You're working me like a dog. Is this all those people that accost you when you walk by the Buffalo Chip?
Yes. Man? Yes.
So they put the fear of God in you, and by God, you're
going to... I've actually started to wear clothes that disguise my appearance in going by there.
I thought you were looking pretty dapper lately. Well, that's the reason for that.
Already can't be Randy in that three-piece suit. I've never seen anybody like that.
Must be a banker.
It must be a banker. That was my... I pulled out some of my old banker dud.
Yeah, I've still got my insurance duds that I used to wear to downtown Chicago in a cleaner's bag somewhere. Big cleaner's bag.
I've got one suit, maybe two, I don't know, that I said I'm not going to throw these away because I'm going to get buried in them, but I don't even think that's going to happen. I'm going to fall off a stool in Ireland someplace with my last Guinness, and that's where I'll be with my jeans and t-shirt.
As it turns out, I think they destroy suits getting them on you anyway. There used to be a series about a funeral home in Poway, California, just north of San Diego. And these people were a bunch of whack jobs, but if they had to put clothes on a dead body, basically they'd rip them right up the back.
Just
put them on frontwards. I'd never even thought
like
about
it. More like a smock.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
Grandpa's wearing his three-piece suit smock.
Well, in any event, I do have some mailbag items here that we could do if we wanted to. I assume that's what you were getting at when you said you're not going home, Doug. You're going to keep working.
Yeah, so. we got some time to use up on the network here. We'll need to do a couple mailbag.
Let me use one item here from a Mr. Well, his first name is Blaine, and he's a jovial chap. He actually, after this exchange, went back and wrote a glowing review of my book on Amazon. By the way, Amazon has the paperback, the ebook, or the Kindle version, and we now have the audio book, and the sales of the audio book are climbing slowly but steadily. So if you like audiobooks, we have our book in audio version waiting for you at Amazon.com. Or if you want a paperback only, you go to Barnes & Noble, and they'll sell you one that's actually a little bit less expensive than the Amazon paperback is. So Blaine writes, "Hi, Doug. Thoroughly enjoying your book. I hope you don't mind a quick question. I'm turning 65 on November 18th, and I'm researching all of my options prior to August 1st when the sign-up period starts. My wife and I both retired, but we're not yet taking Social Security. We're not rich." Well, I'm not going to knock on your door and borrow money. Jesus. "We're not rich, but we're in reasonably good financial shape. For example, we will be impacted by the Irma penalty due to our 2019 tax return, although it'll fall back after our 2020 return." What he means is he had a pretty good year in 2019, and that means the Irma success penalty will come knocking on their door 2 years after 2019. They'll have to pay it for 1 year, and then apparently their income dropped back to the normal window after that year. So he said, "We have a pretty decent IRA balance and soon to be taking Social Security. So the high deductible option you describe sounds like very sound reasoning. This is Medicare supplement with a high deductible. I tell people in my book why that's a misnomer. One should never be afraid of the high deductible in a Medicare high deductible plan." He said, "It seems quite attractive, even though my county appears to only offer one company, Mutual of Omaha, for the Plan G high deductible. I just have a question, however, regarding the deductible and Part A versus Part B. If I missed this in reading your book, I apologize. If I were hospitalized, does the $1,408 Part A hospital coinsurance count against the high deductible in the high deductible Medicare supplement plans? He says, I assume so, and that would leave a smaller amount of the $2,340 deductible to be met by the Part B 80-20 split. He gets into some pretty esoteric mathematics, but basically he's got it right. The Part A deductible and the Part B coinsurance of 80%, 20%, in other words, Medicare pays 80%, they leave you to pay 20%, but if you have one of my suggested Medicare supplement plans, the plan's going to pay the 20%. You won't have to. So anyway, this guy says, I'm in pretty good health with no major issues, currently taking no medications, knowing that once I choose a Medicare supplement plan, I would have to go through underwriting to make a change if I choose it later, if I want to be changing plans. I want to be completely sure of how Plan G high deductible would impact me in the unfortunate event I would have to be hospitalized at some point. So, sorry if this is long-winded and that it makes sense, but I appreciate any help. Okay, well, it was a little long-winded, but I don't mind because I enjoy helping people out. So I said, thanks for writing. Your assumption is correct. The Part A deductible and all other Medicare cost sharing that you would have to pay would be credited to the deductible except for the $198 Part B deductible. I applaud your fiscally responsible approach to Medicare planning and your cautious approach to my suggestion to consider high deductible plans. One other important factor to consider would be the difference in monthly premium between Plan G and high deductible Plan G. Take that monthly difference, multiply it by 12, and you can subtract that big number right from the big deductible number that you think is at risk, and you will find that your amount at risk is substantially lower than you would otherwise think. I can tell you that my wife and I both took high deductible Plan F years ago when first eligible, and in spite of an occasional medical problem, we are still way ahead of the game and would not have chosen any other plan. And then I said, of course, this is the club, and this is the penalty you get for writing to me. Since you have found my book helpful, I wonder if you might consider returning to the site where you got the book and leaving a short customer review. It would be very helpful to me, as well as to future readers looking for a worthwhile treatment of the subject. Thanks again for writing. And he did. He went back and said very nice things about the book for future customers to see. And so then we have a woman named Penny. And Penny wrote in and said, hello, with life crazy right now and plenty of time on my hands, I still haven't done a darn thing. She's using the China virus as an excuse for not doing anything. Well, she might not be the only one. I did order your book. I live in Colorado, turned 65 in June. My health insurance at this time is military. She is TRICARE. I also had a supplemental plan with MOAA, I don't know who that is, that I paid every 3 months at a cost of blah, blah. I did reach out to an independent insurance agent I met through our senior center, printed out the recommendation of Medicare Advantage, Part C. Page 31 in your book in regards to C have me reaching out to you. TRICARE will become my secondary, will cover drugs as I've been informed. If time permits for you, I would love any advice you can give me. Wishing you and yours health and happiness. Now, I wasn't really sure that she was asking me a lot of detailed information. So it was more of a general answer I provided. I said, thank you very much for writing, Ms. So-and-so. I would have answered sooner, but I just found your message in my spam folder. I am not an expert in all the benefit options that military service affords veterans and dependents. Some I have spoken to over the years seem quite content with TRICARE as their only protection, while others have said that it was difficult and inconvenient to rely on Veterans Administration providers for all required medical treatment. Therefore, I must leave it to you. If you prefer to have the best protection available to those of us over 65, that would be Medicare Parts A and B, plus a supplement of your choice. If relying on TRICARE for your drug coverage is satisfactory to you, the Medicare system certainly agrees, and you would not be subjecting yourself to a late enrollment penalty if you were to change your mind later on. Have these thoughts been helpful to you? If not, please let me know specifically how I might help you. 1st of June is rapidly approaching, and it would be ideal to have your decisions made and your paperwork done before that day. Let me know how I can help you make that happen. So her questions were kind of loosey-goosey. My answer was less specific and more general, and I'm hoping that if she isn't satisfied with what I wrote, that she will contact me again and say, well, here is my specific concern. So, you know, who knows? I may never hear from her again, but at least you know what I would say to you if you wrote me with that particular set of concerns. So what do we say? More mailbag?
I wished I could say yes, but we're running out of gas.
Well, oh boy. I love to do mailbag items, especially once I get going. I could do that.
Want to do one more?
I could do one more.
All right, let's do one more, and then we'll sign off for today and look for tomorrow.
The reason I want to do this one is it starts out with such a great first line. It's classic, just classic. I'm going to read it to you right now. This is a person with the first name of Odd, O-D-D. Now, he's got a last name that indicates that he might be from a foreign, you know, a northern European country with a lot of syllables and umlauts and things like that. But basically, he says, Douglas, great book. I should stop right there, shouldn't I? Thanks for putting this out there. A couple of questions. I have lived in Minnesota for years, but just purchased a place in Florida, so I guess I will be a snowbird going forward. I plan on staying in Florida for 6 months and some, the rest in Minnesota. Looks like supplements are cheaper if I use my Florida residence. Any input on this? Page 38 of your book, for the high deductible plan, you state $2,340 for the maximum annual deductible. Can you show me how you calculated that? And then he signed off, gave me his phone number, and I then responded to him. I said, my apologies, your messages wound up in my spam folder. I just discovered them. It's difficult to say that Medicare supplement rates are lower across the board in one state rather than another. Some states do impose more drastic restrictions that drive up the cost of doing business, but each insurance company has their own method of arriving at a price for their products based upon many factors, including whether they are willing to take a loss in order to acquire new customers. Therefore, if your observation is correct, I cannot confirm it from a personal knowledge, but I would then you to go with your gut and buy a reasonably priced Medicare supplement from a company you feel comfortable with. To answer your other question, the Medicare supplement high deductible plans are assigned a deductible amount that is likely to change each year. In 2020, high deductible plan F and high deductible plan G have a deductible of $2,340 each. As you already know, Medicare will pay its portion first in full, and then any leftover expenses would be subject to the deductible, meaning you would pay that portion out of pocket. No telling what these deductible amounts will be set at next year. Since you found my book helpful, here comes the club. I'd love to beat people with this baseball bat. I would ask that you go back to the site where you bought it and post a short customer review. That would help me as well as future readers. And to his credit, his wife went back and wrote a magnificent review of the book. And his response was, thanks for your response. I will post something where I bought the book. Do you sell the insurance as well, or is that state specific? Well, the answer to that is yes, I do sell the insurance as well. And yes, it is state specific. I am licensed in most states. I'm licensed in about 40 states, but I'm not active in many of those states because I'm trying to learn the market in state by state by state, and then pick a carrier that is ideal for the clientele in every state that I want to do business in. So right now, we're concentrating, when I say we, I'm including Randy Carson in this, we're concentrating on Illinois Arizona, Texas, Oklahoma. Those are the ones that we're working on right now. There's our final mailbag item for this week, I guess.
Awesome. I'm really glad we got to those. They just are so useful. Everybody in the world has the same questions, and you know, probably 50 people on the listening to the podcast get the same answers at the same time. So it's a great way to communicate.
I love it when I remember to go to my spam file and I realize that there's mail there waiting for me. Oh, my fans have written in. But if you want to be join the Doug Jones fan club, then send me a question or a love note at dbj@mlmmailbag.com.
I think we probably should start calling your spam folder the fan folder.
Yeah, maybe so, because every time I go there lately, there is more correspondence.
That's right.
I move all that correspondence into my folder on my computer because I love Bullwinkle and Rocky.
Yeah.
I move it to my folder called Fan Mail from Some Flounders.
There you go. Well, folks.
Pokes?
I meant to say folks.
Well, let's include the pokes, though.
Okay. The pokes and folks, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you, Doug, for spending time with us again. The information is always great. It's always fun to be with you. It's always fun to have these chats. We enjoy it. I hope you guys enjoy it. We're still looking forward to seeing you next time, metaphorically speaking. But for right now, we need to cycle down the volumes and move on. But you have just spent about 33 and a half minutes with the anti-insurance guy, Doug Jones, with MedicareForTheLazyMan.com.
See you soon.